For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee.
It's a party, baby.
This is Scalzo and Brust on 94.5 ESPN,
it's a party, baby.
The ESPN Wisconsin app, and streaming live at ESPN
it's
Milwaukee
party,
on YouTube.
Presented by I Have No Idea. I'm Greg Scalzo. He is Ben Brust. You, the Scalzo and Brust family. No Joshy DiMaggio today. Enjoying a little holiday time, I
gave him the opportunity, and he was interested, but the plans fell through for the full reunion for Josh DiMaggio.
So your cousin sub of the day today is Alex Strofe, who woke up from hibernation over the last couple of weeks. Looks like he woke up from hibernation.
He's eating a chili dog.
Walked the block over here to the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios here at ESPN Milwaukee to join us to run the show. And Scalzo and Brust is back. Of course, the family, we want you calling, texting 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776 on the Carbless Talk and Text line where Liss is more. We're excited to be back here. I'm glad that we don't have another best of going today, because I feel like all we've had across ESPN Milwaukee
aren't
the last 2 weeks is best ofs. Well, Alex Strofe has been sitting on his couch eating bugles and having his hands down his pants.
Crying about John Cena. Don't forget about that.
Well, that was before my vacation.
Yeah. Don't act like he didn't trickle into the holidays. And as Strofe answers the phone, I will say I'd love to hear from anyone part of the Scalzo and Brust family, the official, unofficial, whatever your title was. We had Kristen New Berlin, now Kristen Neshota, who is the official, unofficial best friend of Scalzo and Brust, as his wife famously cheated on him with his best friend. If your title's not that deep, I don't care what it is, we'd love to hear from you.
We certainly would. Again, 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-ESPN. And the Scalzo and Brust reunion comes at an interesting time, I think, here for Wisconsin sports fans, as it feels like as harmonious as the Wisconsin sports world normally is, it feels like it's becoming more and more fractured right now.
Well, hosting with Jesse Nelson yesterday, he wanted to do something that he made it seem like he created the best idea ever. High points and low points of 2025 as a Wisconsin sports fan. And what I realized is the high points are not the highs for any team, right? The low point right now is the Packers against the Broncos, Micah Parsons tearing his ACL. The Brewers had a ton of high points, but they got throttled by the Dodgers, what felt like not an NLCS. The Badgers lost in the round of 32. Marquette's irrelevant. The Bucks, the future of Giannis Antetokounmpo, is in a weird spot. So kind of a weird, like, yeah, what's going on with all the teams from a championship standpoint?
Yeah, from a championship standpoint, yes. But you have to feel great about where the Milwaukee Brewers are. The Bucks have Giannis back, right? And they're in an interesting position where they could potentially,
won some games now that he's playing again.
String some wins together here. The Packers is the big one. Like, the Badgers, we know where they're at, and they are at rock bottom.
Oh, I didn't even mention that.
You didn't even mention the Badgers.
Yeah, well,
the Badgers are at rock bottom.
My low point was the Maryland game.
But the Green Bay Packers are the team that I would say the state cares about the most. And where they are trying to find, some consensus among Packers fans. And I feel like this happens once every 10 years where it's like in The Godfather, right? When Don Corleone has to call the family of the meeting of the five families because every 10 years or so it turns into an all-out war. That's like Packers fans. It's like at some point everybody's hunky-dory, and then someone's like, wait a second, aren't we called Title Town? Shouldn't we be able to win a Super Bowl now? Like, all we do is like get into the playoffs and lose pretty quickly, and we're good but not great, and is that good enough? And then Packers fans fight with each other for a while. Maybe there's a coaching change, and then we just reset the cycle over and over. It happened towards right the end of the Favre era, happened in the middle of the Rodgers era
with McCarthy.
And now we're sitting here at a really precarious place with Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur, and wondering, like, is this good? Is this what we should be happy with? Is this not good enough?
It's good. But what the definition of good is different to everybody. Kyle Wallace will sit here and say the season's over because the season's over in his mind when he feels like the team can't win a Super Bowl. But then you have people that are hanging on to the fact that, like, all right, you still want to win a playoff game and you're building something. But how is this any different than the last 3 years under the Love LaFleur era? It's not. The best year so far from a regular season standpoint in the LaFleur Love era was 2023. That was when they started 3-6 and they won all those games, and Jordan Love was electric for the eight straight weeks. 2024, they won a lot of games. You could still say they hit double-digit wins, but they weren't able to beat good teams. And this year, the expectations were higher, obviously. Injuries are a part of this. And then you look around the league, and you're not the only team facing injuries. Without Fred Warner and Bosa and Brock Purdy, the Niners are playing for the number one seed. So, yeah, like, that's why this is coming to the point of, like, if they don't – they're not – who cares what happens week 18? But it's not going to look good when you lose four straight games to end the regular season. And if you don't beat the Bears, which what it's looking like, what do you do if you're Ed Policy?
800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Yeah, I'm okay, Strofe. I know you said that in my ear. But the were you talking to Brust?
Yeah, is he okay?
Why?
Seems nervous.
You didn't talk to me. I didn't hear anything about that.
No, I said to Greg, is he okay?
I thought you asked if I was okay, because there's different things moving. Since the last time I hosted here,
there's a
YouTube thing. There's this screen that he obviously is controlling, and it's moving while you're talking. I'm trying to pay attention to what you're saying.
Yeah, Strofe, I was a little nervous, like an anxious, excited nervous. This is like the first time I've had butterflies since I was like 10 years old before Christmas morning.
Months, huh?
Hey, Charlie Shortino.
It's my guy, Chad, on the Carbless Talk and Text Line chimes in, says, Ben, please stop talking about Jesse. That was dreadful to have to hear him for 3 hours yesterday. Chef Ed says, Scalzo and Brust, I was then and still am Chef Ed. And Chris Payne chimes in and says, is it the Packers' job to win a Super Bowl, or is it their jobs to provide a fall winter of fun and entertainment? And that's my question.
He's pulling the Mark Antanasio, a summer of fun.
That's my question to Packers fans. It's like, what do you want? Because in my career, right, in Wisconsin, which has been 15 years, there has been a feeling of fulfillment with just being good. Being better than the Bears so that you could punk on Bears fans. Being better than the Vikings, right? Being able to point to 14 world championships, even though most of them happened,
prehistoric era?
Yes.
The Mendoza line. They happened pre-Don Majkowski.
Well, they happened before many Packers fans were even born.
Yes,
right?
That's what we put as the Mendoza line.
Correct. I'm trying to explain that because not everyone's going to remember our version of the Mendoza line.
Of course
line.
They will.
And that's where Packers fans have to decide. Like, is this good enough or is it not? And I think that there's, you know, validity on both sides. But if you're going to claim that you're Title Town, like, then you probably should have higher expectations than just from eking into the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying that means you have to completely blow up LaFleur.
Okay, then what are you saying? Because when you pose that question, everyone goes to, we need something new and different. So what would be new and different outside of getting rid of some major pieces?
It's okay to say this isn't good enough, that this team is underachieved. But Packers fans, by and large, are committed to constantly talking about their players like they are either the best or they need to leave. Right? I mean, the Jordan Love conversation is fascinating to me because you've got you've got fans out there who 3 weeks ago were saying, well, Jordan Love should be the MVP. We were doing Sunday Karma Strophe, and it was like, well, why shouldn't Jordan Love be the MVP? And then I'm looking in social media, and you got people saying Malik Willis should be the starter, and they should trade Jordan Love. You know how asinine that is?
You're falling for social media. That's 20% of the fan base that thinks that.
The fact that that's even a narrative and the fact that people think that low of Jordan Love is fascinating. And the simple answer is that it's somewhere in between. You have a quarterback who at his best is an MVP caliber quarterback, right? But he is not consistent enough to be winning. Is that on him? Is that on the coach? No matter what, you ain't getting rid of Jordan Love. I'll tell you that much. Like, that's the guy who is you're building your franchise around and is worth it, because you give up on him, you're not going to find that next one as easily. And then if you want to make a major change, you do have to figure out Goody. You do have to figure out Matt LaFleur.
Goody bought himself time.
But it's okay to say that these guys are good coaches, a good GM, but the team hasn't performed up to expectations and they need to do more. That playoff game against the Bears is going to be huge playoff game for just the overall perception. If they win by a score or lose by a score, does it really change how good of a coach Matt LaFleur is or how good of a GM Brian Gutekunst is? No.
You're playing the results on 3-6 in the playoffs.
But you're just playing the results on that. You know what I mean? And you could always play the results, but like at some point, you got to look a little bit deeper than just, well, they've won this, they've won that.
All right. I agree.
Like, would you trade Jordan Love for Jalen Hurts right now?
No.
Exactly. And Jalen Hurts, you play the results, has been to 2 Super Bowls, won one, and is a Super Bowl MVP. Why? Because you watch the game and you're like, Jalen Hurts isn't that great of a quarterback.
Correct. But my whole thing with this conversation that we continuously having, it's like a revolving door of when, especially right now, especially this year more than ever, the Carolina Panthers game, that was like, what the hell is going on? How do you lose this game? They end up being a decent team, obviously. They're fighting for the NFC South. But whatever, that was kind of the breaking point of like, they're running the same stale offense. He's supposed to be a good play caller. And then it was, well, is he the guy? They start winning again. They win those 3 divisional games. So a lot of it is heightened this year more than ever for Matt LaFleur, because people are getting sick of the same result, so to speak. The last 4 years have been missing the playoffs and 3-7 seeds with 1 playoff win. And there's not a lot of faith right now. Yes, you can match up with the Bears most likely. You've seen them twice. It's been a close game. But if you lose that, then what do you have to show forth under the LaFleur Love era? You don't have a division championship. But I am of the camp that I believe in Jordan Love, because nothing's changed. The only thing that's changed is he got hurt. From an offensive standpoint, if he was a top 3 MVP candidate, what has changed on the offense? You're going to get Zach Tom healthier in the playoffs. He's shown that he can play an elite level. And when they went to Dallas, he played his best game ever, as second best now from a passer rating standpoint. So he has it in him to carry the team. It's not like that defense was any good in 2023 when he did it. So my whole thing is, if you believe in Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur, they should absolutely, despite all the injuries going around, be able to win a playoff game, because they've been together for 3 years.
Chip and Cedarburg chimes in, 800-990-ESPN. Carbless talk and text line. Should we get Mark in New Berlin thoughts on this? Chip and Cedarburg. I'd love to hear from Mark in New Berlin.
He's called quite a bit recently.
I don't know if we've seen Jordan Love as the Lamborghini. Like, a Lamborghini is like top of the line.
He's called heading into that Broncos game after Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, well, after Jordan Love played well.
People were on their highest with him, right? We also have Dale in Partyville chiming in at 800-990-3776, says, hey, Strofe, happy to hear you back on the air. How is overseas? Did you go overseas?
No.
You didn't?
You went MIA.
Unless you consider Manitowoc overseas.
No, I'm guessing he's wondering where you were after Bears-Packers week, where you went for the last 2 weeks.
Magically showed up today, though. What a surprise.
Good to see you at the Central Trio on Saturday, Greg.
I was in Boston. Oh, were you on Green Bay game day?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. So there you go. Dale in Partyville must not have listened to that one, wondering where Alex Strofe has been. I thought the whole, actually, ESPN Milwaukee team went overseas for the last couple of weeks. So I didn't know if I missed a trip
to
Germany
or Ireland, or where
everybody went in these 2 massive weeks heading into the playoffs for Packers season.
Can I propose a career, more so like a philosophy change at GKB? You'd be the person to run that pass, right?
Sure.
Can we roll over more than five PTO days so I don't have to take the last 2 weeks of the year off?
You didn't have to take the last 2 weeks of the year off. You asked for the last 2 weeks of the year off.
Yeah, because I have all this PTO that's going to go to nowhere. Yeah. I got to use it.
Yeah, I have PTO that it can go to nowhere, and I decided to come into work today. I'm not able to roll over my PTO.
You should set the example.
I am. I am. You don't have to.
I'm here on my PTO day.
Me too. That's what you should do. The idea of keeping you off of the air. Somebody had to keep you. How old are you?
I'm 27.
27 years old. You want to be a host here in Wisconsin. The idea that you asked off after Packers Bears is crazy.
I mean, I did Green Bay game night. I did Sunday Karma, which you didn't bother to show up to.
You don't care about Monday through Friday?
I was busy. It was the holidays.
December 21st?
He wasn't busy for Green Bay game day.
That was on the 21st, I believe. Yeah.
December 21st. I don't know. I'm just saying. That's.
If the Packers played on Christmas this year and you were asked to fill in for Homer on Green Bay game night, would you have done it?
Yes.
Of course. Yeah. Well, all three of us probably want to get the hell away from, you know, whatever's going on at Christmas. So
four Christmases for me, by the way.
Yeah. I think you hold the record for us.
Child with divorce.
Right now.
I'm sure we have a Scalzone Brust liner about your divorced parents somewhere in there.
Oh, I bet we do. Yeah.
800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. We'll take a quick one here. Let's go to the official, unofficial backup left tackle of the Scalzo and Brust family, Mo in Illinois. Welcome into Scalzo and Brust.
Scalzo, welcome back, baby. It's nice to hear from you.
It's nice to hear from you, Mo.
Yes, you as well. Thank you. Just wanted to share my thoughts real quick. And I actually have a question for you guys. Do we feel like we're kind of letting Brian Gutekunst off the hook a little too much with the way he handled the cornerback room this offseason? Because I know he signed, obviously, Nate Hobbs, but he's been putrid. He's been an utter disgrace to that position. But do we feel like we're not giving him enough flack for that? And do we want to sign Trayvon Diggs and make our buddy Micah Parsons happy, baby?
Last time that they signed a bunch of players to make a player, a.k.a. Aaron Rodgers, happy, it ended up being the worst wide receiver core in the history of the league. It felt like in 2022 when Lazard was the number one wide receiver next to Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson. I think it's a nice to have. I don't think it's a need to have. I would be like, I'd want more bodies on the defensive line than I care about a cornerback at this point, because they're going to be exposed no matter what with what they have.
Yeah, I think that you could look at the cornerback mistake of Eric Stokes doing what he's doing in Vegas
right now.
Yeah, now
they're going to sign him.
And Nate Hobbs doing what he's doing in Green Bay and paying more for Nate Hobbs, right, than you did for Eric Stokes, who was one of the better free agent signings in, or acquisitions there in the offseason. Look, Gutekunst has not been good enough drafting over the last 7 years. Like, the proof is in the pudding. You have plenty of information you could go off of and say how many guys that he drafted are still in the league, how many are still contributing.
Specifically first rounders too.
And he has not been good enough. And it's a question of, do you want to hold him accountable to that, or do you want to grant him, hey, you transitioned away from Aaron Rodgers and into Jordan Love.
Got Michael
and
Parsons.
That was good enough to earn you the extension. I have a hard time seeing blowing everything up as the right answer, and also a hard time seeing keeping everything as is as the answer.
You're Johnny Hedge today.
I'm not Johnny Hedge. I think that there are interesting middle grounds where you can better align the organization than we're going to get rid of everybody.
It sounds like a true vice president market manager nowadays.
800-990 Leadership. ESPN 800-990-3776. We'll be back on Scalzo and Brust. We'll hear from Alex Stroff about all the things he got into the last 14
Greece?
Days where he hasn't turned on a microphone or produced a show here on ESPN Wisconsin. This is Scalzo and Brust.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Brust.
It's not easy to go through a breakup after 18 years, Ben. This reminds me of when my mom and my dad sat me down back in 2005 and said, hey, buddy, you're not your fault. We're getting divorced, right? This is what it reminds me of. It's very saddening. I'm very depressed today.
Scalzo and Brust.
I mean, I remember where I was when my parents got divorced, but I never thought I would ever bring it back to Aaron Rodgers. But here we are today. We're not looking for therapy advice from you, Ron and the Key, but welcome into Scalzo and Brust.
Nor would I give it to you. I was good enough child that my parents stayed together.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Brust podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcast. listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
101 calories in a 24-minute sex session. That's the result.
When you're Ben Brust laying on your back expecting everybody else to do the work.
I hate you.
Scalzo and Brust, available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
That, you're mean.
I was?
Yeah. I was laying on your back?
Was it inaccurate?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, you put in the work, huh?
Yeah. Look generous at me, lover. Look at you, Mr. Grease.
He's a generous lover.
Now he does. Now he puts in the work. I mean, God, the fact that none of you guys have worked here at ESPN Milwaukee for the last 2 weeks has meant that every day I get a phone call from Ben Brust being like, you know, I'm the only one still working here, right? I don't got this person. Where's this person? Where's that person? You know how annoying that is to me, Strofe?
I believe
you couldn't
it.
Have just produced a show for the last week.
Would have saved him a lot of phone calls.
My goodness. Ben's like, look at me. I'm working, everybody. Look at me. I'm working.
Where'd you go? Oh, yeah. Me the suck-up guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, all right. If we're being fair here, Strofe, if Brad Nortman woke up from his slumber, wherever he is, after the last 3 months and came in to do their show, there's no way you would have been producing this show. You're producing this show because this is Scalzo and Brust. There is no doubt in my mind.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
So when you call him a kiss ass,
it's rich.
You know, there is a little bit of hypocrisy there. Scalzo and Brust back here across ESPN Wisconsin.
Good to 800-990
ESPN 800-990-3776.
Are you regretting it?
The Carbless Talk and Text Line, DVD. Where Liss is more. Chad says, Strofe, do we get one last song for 2025? Cook something up, my man.
No, he didn't have time to produce a song. He was too busy being in Europe.
What did you do with all that time off?
Be honest.
Okay, where do you want me to start? How long have I been off? Week and a half?
Dude, I can't keep track.
Dude, I've been bored. I'm not going to lie to you.
Don't say you've been bored.
I have.
You just said you had a monster night with your mom who was in town.
Yeah, I've been day drinking a lot.
Sick, man.
Just needed a break.
Dick in Downtown chimes in. Official, unofficial, almost producer Dick in Downtown. This Packers participation trophy era is unacceptable for a fan base that has funded their entire existence and now has high-priced, egotistical leadership settling for playoff appearances. Ooh.
Former producers bringing the heat. Again,
it's the almost producer Dick in Downtown.
Oh, former almost producer.
Former almost, yeah.
As if we can get as wordy as possible, and as we always do here, and make things overly complicated. I still want to know what's in your brain. Like, you're doing the Packers fans are in a midlife crisis with each other because they're good, not great. We've been saying they're good, not great. We know they're good, not great. And you say, you don't want to blow it up, but you don't want to do nothing. So what the hell do you want to do, Greg? You're Mr. Management. Ed Policy's the president. No more Mark Murphy. The only thing we've really heard from Ed Policy, which, again, I don't think we should take this as much because it's the one time he talked, but he said he typically doesn't like to see a lame duck GM and head coach. And with LaFleur and Goody having 2 years left, next year would be 1 year left. That would be, quote-unquote, lame duck. Now, I think, and I like this from Brad Nortman in the one day he came in the last 3 months, he said that, why not just make him play out his contract? And Rob Domofsky's like, yeah, we talk about this in a way where it has to be extend or not. But that could be like the, hey, dude, like this is now or never. Like you got to right the ship and get us further, which I kind of like that idea. But I want to know from you, Greg, because we don't get to hear from you and your brilliance.
Jordan Love is where you start with this whole thing, right? When you look at what Jordan Love is, he is a quarterback that can continue to develop into an MVP caliber player. Those don't come around at that position very often. So he is your quarterback, right? He is one of your centerpieces. Micah Parsons, centerpiece on the other side. You've built this roster. You've built this team. You do not trade Jordan Love and keep Malik Willis. For anybody who thinks that's even a possibility out there, it is so illogical to think in that way. You wouldn't get a second-round pick right now for Malik Willis. You'd get two firsts at least for probably two firsts and another pick for Jordan Love, right? And that's with him making $50
million. $55
million. There is no no way that you get rid of Jordan Love. So then you look and say, okay, what else are we going to change? You have to make a decision to me. Do you want this to be Brian Gutekunst's team or do you want this to be Matt LaFleur's team? Because the Gutekunst-LaFleur relationship stinks. Like, when we're talking about, you've got a coach that people think is talented, right? And the fact that he can win and play, have a high-level offense with Malik Willis tells me that he knows at least a little bit about what he's doing. I do question if what he does is run a little bit stale and if teams have figured him out. I do wonder if he's a little confused in terms of what his identity is because he tries to be the genius, the pretty boy, and the tough guy all at the same time. He can't be everything all at once.
He is a little bit of chameleon in that way.
But I think that he's a good coach. Is he a top five coach in the NFL? No, but I think he's a good coach, right? The way that Goody and LaFleur work together, to me...
Do they work together?
...promotes somewhat of an issue. And if you're saying, well, it feels like we've got talent, it feels like we've got a good quarterback, and it feels like we've got a good head coach, why can't we win? Then you start to have to look a little bit deeper at the alignment. So I think where Ed Policy is going to have to live is, how do you want to change the structure that Mark Murphy set up simply because Murphy was too soft to make a hard decision, right? Like, Mark Murphy didn't want to decide between Goody and Russ Ball, and he didn't want to have Goody oversee the head coach, so he created three guys who reported into him, which means that you're creating an organization that doesn't have alignment between the guy who's picking the players and the guy who's coaching the players, which means they're not on the same page at all. And
they're co-workers. They don't report to either or.
So at some point, you're, to me, going to have to figure out what exactly that alignment is that you want and make a decision between one of those two guys. The team has to realize there's some level of accountability because what they're tolerating is inconsistent football over
keeping?
The last 3 years. Who am I keeping?
Yeah.
I'd probably keep LaFleur over Gutekunst.
Really?
And I think that that's a very, I think that it's, there's a lot of people who would disagree with
easy,
that.
The easy choice right now for fans is pointing the finger at LaFleur.
Correct. I'm not that, like, if you went the other way and said, I'm going to get rid of LaFleur, or I'm going to put LaFleur in a position where he reports into Goody. They're both on this one-year deal. Or you sign Goody to an extension. You allow him to pick his head coach. That's fine. But this team lacks an identity. They do. They were good when Micah Parsons was on defense, right? And then Jeff Hafley became sort of this sexy name. Are they like this running, hard-nosed football team that they tried to be last year with
Josh
Jacobs?
They tried to do it at the beginning of the year, too.
Are they a high-flying passing offense like we've seen some games? They have no identity. They don't do anything particularly great. They are an inch deep and a mile wide. And at some point, that means you can win a lot of games, but it means that once you get into the playoffs...
Exposed.
You start to get exposed. When you get late into the season, you don't do one thing better than anybody else. You just try to figure out how to beat that team in the moment, and they're not the best at creating game-to-game game plans.
If I'm Ed Policy, and obviously I'm not, it's hard for me to look, it's hard for me to look at Matt LaFleur. And again, this is all based on, so are you saying even if they beat the Bears, they need to do something? Because like the season's not over. What happens if they beat the Bears and you run into Sam Darnold, who leads the league in turnovers? Now, your defense hasn't been opportunistic at all this year. You led the league in turnovers last year. You don't do it as well this year. But there is the possibility that they with Jordan Love, your expectations still be that he could carry you to an NFC Championship game. Whether you believe that happens or not, that's up to you. But that should be the expectation. And if that does happen, then you're in a spot where it's hard to be like, yeah, I'm going to change something.
It depends on what the Packers want to do. Ed Policy might be really happy just saying, you know what? Packers fans are happy. Packers fans are happy.
That's
they
the Mark
do not
Murphy
care.
Way. He was just happy and happy
Packers
and happy.
Packers fans think that they got the best wide receivers, the best offensive lineman, the best quarterback, the best running back. Everybody's the best, and we can't figure out why they can't win when it matters most. So I think that if you're Ed Policy, it's very possible you're like, why even rock the boat?
I obviously don't know what Mark Murphy was like when he took over as president. But obviously, we're not seeing Ed Policy call out players being a complicated fella or go on the WIAA Women's Basketball High School Tournament broadcast to say some things about the team and the organization. Like, that's just not who Ed Policy is. So naturally, with not knowing as much about him and looking at him, he seems a little bit more of a tight ass than, you know, like, what? Why are we looking? We need to get rid of that?
No, I think he just made a face. I'm looking at
Stroh. Yeah, I think he's got a little bit more of a stern look to an approach than we see from the ha-ha-ha caricature of Mark Murphy.
800-990.
Who wants to announce the freaking
picks? Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Define tight ass for me.
Hard ass is what I was maybe looking for.
Okay, very different, I would
very
say.
Very different.
Yeah.
I would say LaFleur's closer to the tight sphincter guy than Ed Policy. Why?
What's different? I want Stroh to describe the difference between
tight ass
and hard ass.
Well, hard ass would be like tough guy. Tight ass.
Nervous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like tight sphincter.
That's what I went with for LaFleur.
You love that word, and it makes me uncomfortable every time.
Sphincter.
Sphincter.
John.
Greg, say it.
No. Jonah chimes in and says, all I hear from the media is how good LaFleur is and how he'd have a job tomorrow, so let's put that to the test. Tell him he's back as a lame duck, but listen to see how badly the Tennessee owner, who's been infatuated with him since he left and as a QB they took one overall, make a trade offer to get him, replace some of the picks you sent to Dallas for Parsons.
Trading
That's
LaFleur?
Unrealistic. Like, again, like this is where I'm talking about
the identity, the Packers fan identity.
There's just this level of delusion sometimes with the Packers fans where it's like, well, we think LaFleur stinks, but we can get a first round pick from him because Tennessee likes him. It's like, you're not playing a video game. You're not playing a video game. You're not.
I get it, but everyone's looking for a solution right now and the season's not over. And so it's hard to provide that solution without knowing the end result. And I know you talk about...
There's not an easy solution. Like, it's not a snap your fingers in like, oh, if we get a new coach in here, this team's automatically going to win. Their roster isn't good enough. Their drafting isn't good enough. And their coaching isn't good enough. Which one do you want to address?
You're making it sound like they're bad when you say that. But it hasn't been good enough. They haven't won an NFC. They haven't won an NFC North championship since LaFleur and Love have took over.
What is the standard? Because in the Aaron Rodgers era, it was you had to win the division and you had to get to the Super Bowl. Packer, we have lowered our standard for the Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur era Packers.
Well, obviously, he's not Aaron Rodgers.
3 months ago, he was an MVP candidate. But 3 weeks ago, he was an MVP candidate.
Candidate?
Before the season, Packers fans were saying he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. He's elite. They drafted Matthew Golden, who was going to set rookie records.
I don't think that standards have been lowered.
How do you not think the standards have been lowered if we're saying, hey, this is a good team? You're making it sound like they are a good team. Don't you think that they need to do things in order to be a great team?
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that necessarily, but the expectation is still compete for championships.
Kyle Wallace chimes in on the YouTube. Hey, get this man off all this hating. I think that's in reference to you, Greg.
I'm not hating. I want more for Packers fans.
Is Greg hating 800-990-3776?
I want more for you, Packers fans.
Oh, don't try and be the good guy now.
No, I do.
You care about Dale and Partyville right now?
I do care about Dale and Partyville very much. If you want to settle and say, you know what? I'm happy with this. This is the life that I'm okay with. Right? Then that's great. You be comfortable, you settle, and you're happy with early playoff exits and two championships in the last 58 years.
You want a bigger house on the block.
If you want to be better, then you have to figure out, like, you have to hold your team more to account that you're willing to do right now.
You still run a really bad clock.
1-0 coming up next, Scalzo and Brust.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
Egg salad out of a vending machine or gas station sushi?
Egg salad.
I stopped off at a gas station for a snack and I ended up with a full Bavarian pretzel the other day. Like a soft pretzel. It's a wild ride.
Did you have nacho cheese with it?
No. I raw dogged it.
Scalzo and Brust. Available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand. You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
Would you ever eat the placenta? Is that something that you'd be open to doing?
He doesn't know what a placenta is. I mean, I feel like it's part of the female reproductive system.
Honest to God, I don't know how you did graduate from that. I have no idea what courses you took. Like, it's pretty...
Scalzo and Brust. Available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
So after listening to that liner coming in here, if you asked me what a placenta is right now, I still wouldn't know.
Oh, goodness.
Is it in the female reproductive system?
But you have a child.
Yeah, how do you not know? I'm confused.
The birth was crazy. We're not going to get into that.
What do you mean it was crazy?
Like I said, I'm not going to get into that. Can I Google placenta on a work computer?
What does that mean?
Like your wife like just produced like an egg? Like what? Like
no, I thought you were talking about the actual of giving birth process. Well, what I've seen with Ben.
Yes. The placenta comes out.
Okay, what does it look like?
I'm not going to get into this. We're not breaking down the how did you not, did you pass out? Is that what happened?
No, I did not. I had to be really
but you
tough
didn't
and
look.
Strong.
But you didn't look.
I looked enough to see the baby, and I was like, ah!
Yeah, well, then you missed
What do you mean it was crazy?
Dude, I'm not going to talk about my wife's
birth on
the air,
idiot. That one goes a little
far,
Strope. That one goes a little far on that one. Speaking of, somebody on the YouTube chat, this one's hard to keep track of, Benny.
Yeah, it goes fast.
Somebody said that they think I'm taking it too far. As far as the overall Packers conversation, I'm interested in getting into that. I'm interested in getting into more of the Packers conversation, but it is time to play a little one or zero.
Are you a one or a zero? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you a yes or a no?
There's no such thing as a gray area. Life is binary. It's just a one or a zero.
Wow, one or zero.
That's how we play the game. Alex Stroh reads us a question. We say one for yes, zero for no. There is no in between.
No gray area is what you
No
use
gray,
area.
Gray area. Come it's on. Been a couple of years. It's been a couple of years.
You've lost your fastball.
Strophy, go ahead. Let's see what Strophe's got.
Happy New Year's, guys. Happy New Year's Eve.
Yep.
You excited for the evening?
Dude, ask us a question.
Come
no banter.
On. That was a question. One or zero, you're excited for the evening.
There you go. I'm actually one. I'm very excited for the evening. I don't really have to do anything, which is my kind of evening. Going to go home, have dinner, be asleep before midnight. It'll be glorious. Glorious evening in the Scalzo household.
My wife just got back from St. Louis. We had cleaners come. She's making the grocery runs. We're having some
friends
over. That's
why he's been working all week. The wife's out of town.
I'm a one. I'm a one.
That is the biggest lie ever.
No, it's not.
That is the biggest lie ever.
No, it's not. I'm excited.
Did you hear the way he introduced this? You are doing the show in fear of your wife right now.
No,
doing the show in fear of your wife right now. You are 100% on.
I am not.
I understand not going down the line of what her birth was like. I think that's fair and respectable and understandable. But your wife and friends are coming over. I know you don't want to. Like, the idea of hosting a New Year's.
It's the hosting thing. It's the hosting thing.
It's horrible.
There's an order for food.
The way that you're like, oh,
she's like, pick up or delivery.
Ready.
I said, delivery. Pick up. My gripe that I will gripe.
And they
right
have
now.
To stay after midnight? That's so, the worst.
She said come anytime after 5:30. 5:30? That's early.
6 hour hang.
Then plus, because you gotta make it to midnight.
And then you know people are gonna stick around, and then it's like,
yeah, what time do you finally say, hey, get out?
Should I
Ben
put
won't.
A hard out?
No. You won't create a hard out.
Nah, you're too soft for that. One or zero, Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen are funny, Greg Scalzo.
Zero. I don't think they're funny. I think it's people like the fact that they drink on New Year's, but they're
oh,
not
they
naturally funny people, yes.
Okay, I was going to say.
You
I
know
thought,
who those people are.
I thought Anderson Cooper was like some sort of host of like
he
one
is.
Of the network shows.
He is on CNN, yeah.
And then Andy Cohen, I couldn't. If,
they're two
if,
of the more popular TV if, hosts of the last 20
if
years.
If Andy Cohen was walking in the Third Street Market Hall here in Milwaukee and he waved to me, I would wave but have no idea who he is.
I feel like Strofe is A, very excited about New Year's Eve tonight, and B, loves Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen.
I'm more an Andy Cohen guy, but yeah.
Yeah.
I
simple
like him.
Strofe. He's a very simple guy.
I am a simple
Just
fella.
Simple Strofe.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. A lot.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Simple.
Greg doesn't like if you're just, you know.
He's the guy that said, I'm going to go home and go to sleep. I'm simple.
Dude, he was. I don't want to jump in for Greg Skousel. You've been day drinking for a week and a half. He went from Chicago to Milwaukee, back down Chicago, flew to Boston, flew back. Like, he actually did some stuff with his family and his life to make memories.
Why did stuff with my family?
What the hell did you do?
I did stuff with my family. What does this have to do with tonight?
I'm very excited to have a nice night home with my family and kids. And yeah.
All right, year in review time. One or zero, dictionary.com's word of the year, 6-7.
I guess Andy Cohen was at the Blues game I was at with my wife, she just said. So I have seen him. She was very excited to see him there. So we tie it all together. I know Andy Cohen.
There you go.
There you go.
Uh-oh.
Nailed it. What?
Now that she's listening, I don't know. Are we going to get more?
I got more context.
More nervous Ben?
No, she wants the people coming to be able to see our daughter before she goes to bed. That makes sense.
Huh. Doesn't change your one or zero.
It's a one. I didn't raise my voice on that one.
It's a one! I swear!
One or zero, you know it's 6-7 minutes.
One. It means nothing. You just do it. And you look stupid.
Yeah.
It's also really stupid that the idea of scoring 67 points in a basketball game, talk about being simple and dumb, society with 6-7.
There you go.
I have no argument.
Next.
One or zero, year in review again. The Coldplay Kiss Cam, you remember that?
I do.
When they got outed for cheating. One or zero, you should be embarrassed that you're having an affair at a Coldplay concert.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm a zero there? Like,
oh, so Greg Scal's a pro-affair.
No, not at all. I just, what's the difference of doing it there versus a Shinedown concert?
Hey.
Right. You know what
is
I mean?
Are you a fan of Shinedown?
You haven't heard?
That's his favorite.
Oh, yeah. He took off to go to it
but
or something.
But, like, I don't.
I went by myself once.
I mean, it's embarrassing to be caught like that in that fashion. Absolutely. But at a Coldplay concert? I mean, look, she got a spread in the New York Times, you know? Like, she's now going to be a mini celebrity here. Like, probably is going to work
is
out.
Is she? I missed that.
Yeah.
I didn't care. I think we, again, society's dumb. We grab on to something and we make it the biggest thing.
I mean, that was a great, great video. Like, that is an all-time video where she just, they just duck down. Like,
well, they're on
a video.
They're stupid.
Of course they're dumb.
Like, that's my hope. Like, it was stupid that they were even in this situation in the first place.
Yes.
So that's why I don't feel bad at all.
I don't feel bad. No. Well, you think it's embarrassing, particularly because there's a Coldplay concert?
Yes.
You have zero musical ground to stand on, though.
What are you talking about?
Guy thinks he's a musical guy. He's a musical fiend, this guy. Concert guy.
I like all sorts of music.
Okay. But you
including Coldplay.
Okay, that's what I'm confused. It seems like your kind of music
affair,
is Coldplay.
I'm not going to a Coldplay concert.
Where are you going?
Where are you going?
Nowhere. I don't know.
No, where are you going?
Where are you
going
to have an affair, Strofe, that's less embarrassing than a Coldplay concert?
I mean, just go home, man.
Those doors locked, girlfriend.
800-990. That was it. Bad one or zero.
Yeah, I mean, it was predictably going to be bad.
Nothing about Bross. Nothing about you do a show with him every day.
Well, not right now. I don't.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, he was gone for a week and a half. He said he didn't listen.
I haven't listened once. It's been a wonderful break.
How does that make you feel?
I've known this. He would be chiming in if he was. He typically listens to everything. So I know he literally is just like I said, he could have been overseas and we would never.
I'm unplugged, man. Sorry for being unplugged for a little bit. Hardest working man in showbiz back here.
Oh, my God. 800-990-3776. Larry from Gary, Indiana. Do we have time to take him, Strofe, or do we got to take him on the other show?
I don't care what you do.
All right. Larry, welcome to Scalzo and Brust. Could you say that somebody's the hardest working man in show business that when on the most important Monday of the Packers season, he asks off of work?
He asks off of work? Can you repeat that again? I mean, he's working pretty hard. I see back there.
All right.
Thanks, Larry.
There you go. Larry, Gary, Indiana. It's a hard working town. What do you got for us?
I was commenting on to say if you was a hater or not.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say you're hating. I would just say overreacting a little bit.
Ooh.
Because everything isn't that bad. The roster isn't that bad. The coaching isn't that bad. The drafting And free agency, like I said last time I was on here, you can be more aggressive in that area.
Look, Larry, I agree. Some people in the world go through life saying, hey, you know what? Life ain't that bad.
I was going to say,
let's not change anything. Life
went three isn't that bad.
Life isn't that bad.
He set you up.
And so if you want to live in a world that just ain't that bad, then like this is the Green Bay Packers team for you. If you want.
Now do you think he's a hater?
if you want a life where you're like, this is great, I'm proud, then like you might want to just tweak some things. Because I agree, they're not that bad. They're not even like, they're pretty good, actually, right? Like,
you're so condescending.
How am I condescending?
You're just, I didn't miss this spin zone. I'm not a hater.
Zone.
They're good. They're good. It's great to be good. It's fine if you're good, but you'll never be anything.
Do you want me to sit here and just tell everybody things are great because that's what they want to hear?
No, I want you to be you.
I spent a week in or 4 days in Boston while Strofe was day drinking around, Manitowoc. And was that right? Manitowoc?
I spent a few days in Manitowoc, spent a few days in Green Bay.
Big Manitowoc guy.
What do you know about Manitowoc?
You and the Avery family. That's about it. And I think that, I'm out there and like Drake May is about to win an MVP. Mike Vrabel is, probably going to win Coach of the Year. It's a team that's won 6 Super Bowls in the last 20-something years. And all I've ever heard out of Boston Sports Talk Radio is how bad the Patriots are, how bad things are.
Oh,
because people thrive off to this level of, like, you need to expect more.
This ain't Boston.
But people want me to just sit here and be like, no, things are great. Like, we should be happy with the 7th seed. You shouldn't be happy with the 7th seed. You should be okay with the 7th seed. But, like, you shouldn't be happy with the 7th seed. That's all I'm saying.
Fair. Fair, Greg. You're so fair in your assessment.
Joshua wants me to leave Strofe alone. No. Chip and Cedarburg asked, did the star of Are You Smarter Than just call society dumb? Wow, how far he's come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is
a man with
too.
A child who still doesn't know what a placenta is. But, yes, it is very true. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Let's make some live bets next on Scalzo and Brust.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
Like, I just show up, and that's the best part about having a personal trainer is he says what to do, and I do it.
The lack of curiosity on you is remarkable. Like, it's truly like...
You guys do this at least once every 3 months. Josh is like, what? And you're like, what?
Scalzo and Brust. Available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand. You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
This is what happens when we leave those two together.
What did we do? We didn't do anything.
You guys?
I don't know if
we
ben
got Aaron Rodgers' number one supporter and Brian
dumber.
Gutekunst's number one supporter.
You guys create a super soldier of stupidity over there.
Scalzo and Brust, available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
Why do I keep hearing Alex Strofe's laughing all week?
I gotta be honest, I just clicked a random one that time.
Huh. We must have put you up on the board in Madison back in the day.
You were in Madison in that one.
Oh.
That's why they call this do you not listen? Dude, the context was there. They
yeah,
said,
but the context
dumber.
Was both of you guys are dumb. Oh, come on, Strofe.
Strofe's having a rough day. He hasn't been working in a week and a half. Knocking off the rust.
Yep. Something like that.
Scalzo and Brust, back with you one day only, right here on ESPN Milwaukee, 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. The Carbless Talk and Text Line, Liz is more. Greg Scalzo, Ben Brust. No Joshy DiMaggio, although he's very critical of the one or zeros that Alex Strofe rolled out for us there, including the dictionary word of the year. Which
6-7.
I mean, like, he's not wrong, Strofe. You could have dug a little deeper there, no? Noodle brain? Is that what's going on?
What'd he say?
I just told you.
You could have dug a little deeper.
He says, Strofe prepped for one or zero. The dictionary word of the year is something brought up 2 months ago.
Yeah, but it was year in review. I was doing things of the year.
Okay. Nobody like else is doing that concert. Right now
one
either.
Or zero. Your one or zero questions.
Zero.
Yeah. All right. So, you know.
Self-awareness, the most important human quality.
So you know it. All right. That's
self-awareness is... Number one thing, most important human quality.
What I just said, Ben, do you not listen.
I just want Greg to hear that again because
he doesn't think you have self-awareness is what he's trying to say.
Oh, high and mighty, toity Ben Brust. Kiss my ass.
800-990-3776. Let's go to the official unofficial uncle of the Scalzo and Bruss family, Ron in the Key. Ron, you've been with us for the journey since nearly day one when we would bet live horse races in the middle of our show. We would do live betting throughout the show and a whole lot of other hijinks.
Floor is lava.
Floor is lava game was a good one. Welcome to Scalzo and Bruss. How have you been, Ron?
I've been fine, Greg. I know you miss me dearly.
I do. I miss you dearly. My bits in the office with Ben don't go over as well without you supporting his nipples that look like baby thumbs or his lazy eye. So I actually do kind of miss you reinforcing it.
Receding hairline.
Receding hairline is one that's gaining traction. There's a whole Twitter account based on Ben's receding hairline.
Did Ben ever catch on that you, me, and Josh would like message in the background and go, hey, let's all pretend we're coming up with this stuff independently and make him go crazy, gaslighting Ben?
No,
well, now I know.
Yeah, he never did.
For a long time, I would take pictures or look at pictures, and I'd be like, is my eye lazy? like you guys had me in a tizzy.
Oh, we know. We know.
Anyways. Okay, so how far we've come is that 8-year-old daughter on a school day, I believe Snow Day, who made live picks on midday Scalzo and Bruss, was very eager. High school daughter wants nothing to do with this, so she wants to say her part and get the hell away from dad. So she's maturing and picking up good taste in her age. So what are her choices? Greg, you said Duke and Arizona State.
We're looking at Duke, Arizona State. Do you have the second half line here?
It just hit halftime.
Just hit halftime. So we'll pull up the second half line here in a minute.
One is a Blue Devil. One is a Sun Devil.
Oh,
nothing's going to change your answer. What's your pick?
Duke.
Because Duke.
All right, Duke up 28-24 right now at the half. She chooses Duke. You're not the cool dad like I thought you were, Ron, in the Key. So that's kind of,
she owns you now,
guess, but because Ben, right now yours doesn't already own you.
Oh, boom.
And
roasted.
Or Greg, you,
Ron, what I want to ask is, did you hear the lying voice, when Ben was talking
go look on YouTube. I said, that's the classic Scalzo and Bruss. He went to the high pitch. So it's definitely a lie. I'm sorry, Mrs. Bruss. Ben is not excited for tonight.
Oh, shut up, Ron.
Wait. In the keep it all in the family, GKB, I'm guessing what? Austin's coming over?
He is not. And now you've gone two inside like you always do, and then it's time for you to go.
Thank you for the call. He's not far off.
All right,
he's
great.
Not far off.
Great. I thought we were live betting. I'm trying to look for a line right now.
I know you are, but that's Ron right there. Ron in the Key of the Scalzo and Bruss family. Strofe looks upset. Ben looks upset right now. Everybody seems upset. This is what Scalzo and Bruss is all about. Just everyone getting riled up.
I don't know if
my
current relationship would have survived if we did 20 years of radio together.
I think you know the answer to that. It would have gotten a lot stronger, I think.
Oh, yeah. We all would have came together even more. Yeah.
No, it just would have been like the 18th divorce amongst us.
Yeah, we are all children of divorce here.
That is true. That is true.
Some more divorces than others. Stroh, four total?
Four and a half if we count the engagement my father had to my brother's second grade teacher.
Recently?
No. This is way back in the day. My brother
but
was
they never end up getting married.
No, but we moved, but we did move in, and they were engaged.
Whoa!
Yeah, my brother was in fourth grade. It was only 2 years
removed. Did they through your brother? Like, because she was the
parent-teacher
teacher?
Conferences,
yeah,
man.
So here's the thing. My mom was a second grade teacher also.
Same
colleague
school?
And teacher.
No, different schools.
So your dad's got a type.
Apparently he did, yeah, because that was right after my parents divorced. That was the next woman, but they only got engaged and then not divorced. Then my dad got married again, and then he got divorced. And now he's been with my stepmom for like 15 years.
Okay.
So happily
ever after.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. Good job.
So he's got 2.5 of the 4, you're saying?
Yeah, my mom's been divorced twice as well, though. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Well. How about you guys? What are your stats?
Just one.
Just the one divorce for me, too.
Oh, so you guys have lived a normal divorced life.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. 800-990-3776.
Divorce stories on the Carbless Talk and Text line.
Yeah, can we get
Chris and Neshota?
Chris and Neshota back on here.
Greg, I didn't tell you this. I met him. I was at a wedding with him.
The guy who got cucked by his best friend?
I don't know if you can say that, but yes.
Can you say that on the air?
I don't think so.
I think you can. 800-990-ESPN.
I just wouldn't do it
the
again.
The number to call into the show. We're going to transition this conversation to Matt LaFleur.
Dude, we're back in 2 minutes. Just take your break. We're already 6 minutes over the hour.
I know. I'm doing a tease here. That's what you do. Because when we come back, we want to talk about...
Well, you should teach Ben how to do an efficient tease. Because he does like the old Michael Scott anytime he teases where he starts a sentence and he doesn't really know what's going to come out of his mouth next. And then he doesn't really land the plane every single segment.
Well, I was going to go more with a transition about... Well, it's not a true divorce. It does seem like Matt LaFleur has changed an awful lot since he arrived to Green Bay. Who is Matt LaFleur, and what is his identity? That's coming up next. Scalzo and Bruss, back in 2 minutes.